Greetings, I'm Noel Deere. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 6, verses 27 through 34. Now, at the beginning of John chapter 6, we saw that Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, that was an extraordinary miracle, and it sparked a number of conversations. Now that we're further into John chapter 6, we're still dealing with those conversations, and we'll continue that today. Now, we covered verse 27 in yesterday's devotion, but I want to go back and read it again and use that as the launching pad, the springboard, to continue the verses that we'll focus on today. Verse 27, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." Now, Jesus had given them the miraculous fish and the miraculous bread in the feeding of the 5,000. Now the people are demanding more miracle food. Now, Jesus seeks to turn this conversation from the physical focus, the physical food and the physical life, to a focus on spiritual things, spiritual nourishment, and spiritual life. That's why he says, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." Now, the people fixate on that word work, when he says, "Don't work for the food." And they ask a question about that in verse 28. "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Now, the people possess this tendency to look for ways to work for and to earn a right relationship with God, to earn eternal life. And we see this throughout the Bible. I think about Matthew 19:16, when the rich young ruler asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?" We see the same thing in Luke chapter 10, when a lawyer questioned Jesus and said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" People are still looking today for work that they can do that can put them into a right relationship with God. Now, that might seem like a commendable thing to do, but it is not. It's not commendable because it exposes a complete lack of understanding, a complete lack of appreciation of the depth of our sin and our sinfulness. If we understood just how sinful we were, then we would never imagine that there was something we could do to have a right relationship with God. And Jesus will explain. Verse 29, Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." Instead of working to earn your way to eternal life, Jesus said they needed to believe. They needed to trust in what God would do through Jesus to make it possible that they would be right with God. You see, everyone will either believe in himself and what he can do, or he will believe in God and what God will do or what God has done. Everyone will either trust in their own works and their own goodness, or they will trust in the provision of God. Jesus said, "It is not by your works, but it's by believing in God and trusting in his works." Look at verse 30. "What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe?" they asked. "What are you going to perform?" Now, that was a crazy question. If we go all the way back up to verse 2 here in chapter 6, it says that they initially gathered around Jesus because they had seen multiple miracles. Then, once they gathered, Jesus fed the 5,000, an extraordinary demonstration of his power. Now, they request Jesus to demonstrate it again, to demonstrate it more, that perhaps they'll now be convinced. Now, what this shows us is that unbelief can never be satisfied with just evidence. I think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and you may or may not know that story, but the rich man is in hell, and he asks that someone be sent from the dead to warn his relatives of the reality of hell. And Jesus says this in Luke 16:31, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." People often think, if I could just see a miracle, or I could just see one more miracle, then I would believe, but that's never the case. Verse 31, our ancestors, the people are continuing to question Jesus, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, through Moses, God had provided manna, he had provided bread for nearly 40 years. They would wake up in the morning as they were in the desert, camping in the desert between Egypt and the promised land, and God had provided bread. They called it manna. Now, the people used this historical event to ask Jesus to do more. You fed us once, but when Moses was involved in this, they were fed every day or nearly every day for 40 years. Now, this statement seems to show us that Jesus might be losing their focus. It seems like Jesus wanted to talk about belief and faith, but they just wanted to talk about satisfying their physical hunger. But Jesus is going to use their requests for continual bread to really drive home his point. Let's see verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." So Jesus corrects the people. It wasn't Moses, it was God. But there's more here. What Moses gave was not the bread from heaven. What Moses gave was meant to satisfy their physical hunger. What Moses gave was only a picture of the true bread from heaven. But now the Father gives the true bread from heaven. The Father gives what they really need. The Father gives the bread that truly and eternally satisfies. Now, what is this bread? Well, the next verse tells us. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The true bread from the Father is Jesus. The present tense of this word comes, he comes from the Father. It teaches us something important here. It doesn't just say that Jesus came, past tense, but he comes and he continues to come to us from heaven. The life and strength this bread supplies is continual. Now, the last thing I want you to see here in this verse is that this bread, Jesus, gives life to the world. The manna that was given was only for Israel, but Jesus, according to this verse, he is the bread for the whole world. And then verse 34, "Then they said, Sir, give us this bread always." Now, it finally seems that the people are beginning to understand that Jesus is offering something more than just a full belly and an endless supply of physical food. Now, if you've been with us a while, this should remind you of what the woman at the well said to Jesus back in John 4:15, when she said, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not thirst and have to keep coming back to you or keep coming back to this well to draw water." Jesus is having the same conversation with these Jews as he had with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and he's building toward this grand statement that he's going to make that we will see in our next daily devotion. Friends, thanks for watching or listening. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. On your favorite podcasting app, just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.